You're listening to the Table Talk podcast, brought to you by the team at Food Matters. Welcome to the Table Talk podcast, brought to you by Food Matters. Now, in these podcasts, we explore a huge range of crucial issues and exciting developments in the food industry with brilliant guests drawn from all areas of expertise. I'm Stefan Gates. I'm a TV presenter and writer specialising in food and science. The title of this podcast is Attracting Talent in the Packaging Industry, and it's one of our series of episodes about careers in the food industry. I'm joined by Pierre Paslier, co-founder of Notpla and General Polymath. Hello, Pierre.
Hello.
And Kevin Vise, head of technical, Wrap UK, the food packaging design and manufacture company.
Hello there. Hi.
Now, Pierre, let's just start with you. Is it fair to say that packaging is now a very sexy area of the food industry?
I think certainly it's been going through a dramatic change in the past few years. And for the best, I think that it was one of those things that we weren't really kind of like taking into consideration for the true impact it can have just a few years ago. Because in a way, it's the thing that comes for free with whatever content you buy. And I think that over a period of like, 3-4 years with a number of like really big movements and raising awareness around the issues of pollution, people have really realized what it is, what it can do. And I think that it's really put it on the map, on the agenda for all of the big companies that are producing a lot of like packaging through their products to do something about it, to offer an alternative to the current status quo to their consumers. So that's really exciting.
So it's a sort of dynamic place to work, I guess. Now, Kevin, when you go out to, to parties and people say, what do you do? In the past, I would imagine that being in packaging may have been a little dull for people. Now, you're it's a pretty exciting area to be in, isn't it?
Well, I have to say, I'll tell you a little quick story. Dinner party some years ago when I worked at Tesco. And I mentioned the fact that I worked for Tesco, and all of a sudden, I did packaging, and all of a sudden, everybody's attention was drawn to that. And a doctor who was at the same party came up to me afterwards. Thank goodness you said what you said. He said, normally, if I say I'm a doctor, that's it. Everybody wants to know. So packaging, I suddenly realized that packaging had absolutely hearts and minds of lots and lots of people.
It's a really exciting place. And do you find it a dynamic place to be?
It's given me a great career. You know, I've been in this trade now for 38 years and I've never been without work. So it is an incredibly good career to have. I think the sadness is that it is so undervalued by, the general public. As you may know, plastics became the poster child of all that was evil up in 1919, but without really asking the question about why it was there in the first place. And if we want avocados from South America, we need to use a little bit of plastic to get them there. But nobody's asking those sort of questions. And that's now transformed the role of a packaging person into an environmentalist, into a sustainability manager, into a circular economy expert. So there's lots of facets now coming into the task.
So Pierre, saying that you work in packaging is, I mean, that's like saying I work in physics, isn't it? There's so many different areas. And you in particular have covered lots of different areas. What sort of roles are the important ones in the packaging industry?
So I'll speak for Notpla, our startup of sustainable packaging. And in general, we have five main skill sets that are involved in developing our sustainable packaging solutions. So we have chemists who are working on the materials themselves, the properties of those materials and optimization of like the processes for transforming the materials. We have engineers who work on the manufacturing technologies, the machines and the processes that are required for making those packagings in the right speed and price and quality. We have designers whose role is really important to actually kind of like explain and communicate and find new exciting ways to make the functionality of the packaging as kind of like as suitable as possible for the application, but also about its end of life and like the whole impact that it can have. And then we have like a commercial team that is really working on deploying this, making this available to like the market, and making sure that we have a really kind of like strong model to grow this in a way that is going to be sustainable. Mm. And we have a production team and operations team who's really producing all of these like new sustainable packaging solutions, and whose work is really important in making sure that we are providing something that does the job and that like protects the content and that is like making that impact that we want to have as efficient as possible.
And would you call yourself a design engineer?
So I studied innovation design engineering in the Royal College of Art and Imperial College. And that's where I met my co-founder. So that was really kind of like a bit of a starting point for our startup and our project and technology. So yes, I think that that was definitely the turning point for jumping into this. I think now growing the company, it's so many different hats and roles to make sure that we are staying on track with our mission and delivering on impact. So it's a little bit of everything, but it's really interesting because as Kevin was saying, there are so many different aspects to packaging now. So you really need to take into account everything from like the very first kind of like raw materials that you're going to be using, all the way to how like the waste industry is going to treat those products at the end of life, and in the middle providing a delightful sustainable experience to the consumers, and so that's a lot of different activities to work on.
Yeah, I mean it's a real multidisciplinary affair, isn't it? It's the full STEAM approach: science, technology, engineering, art, and maths. Now, Kevin, you are head of technical. Just could you describe for us how your day unfolds? What I know there isn't a usual day. Everything's different. But just you know, if you went into the office tomorrow, let's say Monday, not over the weekend, what would you be doing?
I manage a team of engineers and technologists, basically, and we have responsibility for a factory where we manufacture our packaging, but also have a laboratory where we're continuously kind of keeping up to date with what's going on with our products, but also what new developments are going on. So a typical day will be my responsibility is to look for the new technologies and look for the circular economy opportunities for the business. But my technologists will be ensuring that the materials that are coming in are as they say they should be. We're looking at maybe new combinations of materials, so they'll be testing those.
So lots of materials science, basically.
Lots of material, but we also have a design team, and the structural design team will be actually creating new shapes and packs, different ways of doing things. So we're currently working on a couple of new developments which are completely new to market, which we can do internally because we have our own design resource. Obviously the great thing about our business is we have a manufacturing site as well, so we can design and build. It's not just designing it and then handing it over to somebody to do. So everything we do actually has its genesis in our design offices and ends up on our production lines out in Ireland. So we do have a lot of conversations with the customer. So the big retailers, a lot of our customers are big retailers. So we're talking to them about what the trends are, where they think the technology might go. They're often asking us where we think the technology is going. So we have to be very informed about new stuff. So that's part of my role, is to keep abreast of things like nanocarbon and bioadhesives and new ink systems.
So you're talking dirty to me. That is fantastic. all the things that I love reading about.
Yeah. So the other major thing, and it's been touched on twice now, is what is happening with the circular economy? How are we applying circular economy to our business models? Because certainly in the packaging industry, we are really exposed to the customer wanting to have real answers to their so-called waste issues. It's all very well if you've got a good recycling system at home, but if we're creating packaging that cannot be recycled or pushed around the system again, we are in fact doing a disservice to the materials we use and also our customers.
Now, Pierre, what motivated you to go into the packaging industry? Was it a gap in the market? I mean, you're an entrepreneur as well. Was it a new idea that you had that you wanted to bring, you know, to bring to fruition? Or did you want to find a solution to something? What was the thing that brought you there?
So initially, the project started while we were studying this master's with Rodrigo. And I think that it was a very open-ended kind of like project. We could really work on whatever we want at that point, and there was a lot of like nice freedom to have. And I think that there was one thing that like was really frustrating is the single use small plastic bottle, the kind of quintessential like on the go packaging that is going to be used for less than 5 minutes, and we know that the plastic is gonna like be in the environment for hundreds of years. That was kind of like the frustration that got us started on a bit of an exploration of what would be nature's solution to packaging like water or other kind of beverages. And we thought that, yeah, like there was already so much inspiration from fruits and vegetables. If we could make something that was more like a fruit and less like a synthetic container, we could then ensure that wherever it ends up in the environment, it would never create a problem. And so we started by looking at lots of natural materials, from starches to cellulose. We were playing with the tapioca seeds from bubble tea. And eventually that's when we stumbled upon a lot of seaweed like materials that we were able to form into bubbles that became the OHO product. And we didn't have a lab at that point. We were just kind of like playing around in our kitchen. And I think we created something that was far from being perfect at that point, but that was kind of like interesting enough that we made a little kind of video about it, put it online, and it actually went viral. And when we realized how much interest there was in this concept of like an edible packaging, something that would be as natural as like literally a piece of fruit, we thought that we really had to do this more seriously than just as a student project. And that's when we jumped on the startup experience and started to work on this as a company.
And Kevin, we talk a lot about the lack of new talent available. There's just not enough people, and the requirements of the food industry and engineering and technology are enormous, and we're struggling to meet them. What can we do to attract people to work in the packaging sector? What would you say to somebody who's considering what to do next after finishing their A levels, for instance?
I think that the problem has been is that the packaging industry took a dive into the world of graphic design back in the 80s and 90s. So packaging designers became graphic designers, really, or the other, vice versa. So the engineering piece got left off. If you look around Europe, so if you look to, say, Finland, or if you look to France in Reims, the packaging students are taught engineering as well as the design aspects. And it's not sexy to do the engineering in Britain. Engineering is not a trade that people push hard in schools. And yet it is one of the fundamental trades we're going to need going forward, because if Britain stands on its own, it's got to make things. And therefore engineering is very important. I think I was very lucky. I went to Metal Box. I did a postgraduate with them. They did a sort of a hybrid, what we're talking about now, actually, in with government, is about a hybrid between an apprenticeship and a degree. That's exactly what they did. They didn't allow me anywhere near anything for a year. I had to go and learn the trade. Yeah. And I spent weeks and weeks and weeks in factories learning how machines worked. And that has stood me in immense stead, because, you know, ever since that time, I've known basically how these things work. I think to attract people in, I think I'm finding, certainly with the students I work with, it is coming back to the circular economy piece because of the sustainability overlay, because people are now aware that we are doing damage to the planet. They're seeing us packaging as a way of communicating to the customer how to do the right thing. And therefore, this circular economy piece is now leading people into, well, how do we do better packaging? As you know from the my colleague on the call now, is we can create some wonderful things if we just travel sideways a bit rather than just trying to carry on the same road.
Yeah. So the two most obvious things that seem to attract new skilled workers seems to be that thing that Kevin's talking about, making a difference, sustainability, but also cash. So Pierre, can you earn a stack of money in packaging? I mean, the Tetra Pak guys did pretty well, didn't they?
So actually, I was going to say that, like, on your previous question, I think that, like, 100% what is driving people at least to join our company is purpose. And we have like every time we open a new role, we have hundreds of applicants who are willing to take a cut on their salary because they want to work on something that actually is making a difference.
Yeah.
So I think that's really like kind of the opposite of like being motivated just by money. I think that, like, money is definitely important for making all of this work as a business that can support its employees, and using capitalism to actually, like, replicate and grow the model as quickly as possible while maintaining the level of impact you want to have. But I think that certainly for people who have maybe worked for a few years in the industry, there is a lot of people who, after a few years, kind of like realize, quite disillusioned about the actual impact they have with their work. And they really want to recenter on, like, having something that is for a purpose. And so I think that, like, this is a lot more valuable than money. At the end of the day, when you work on something that you feel very proud of, that's a lot more important than like a bigger paycheck for a category of people. And I think that there will always be, like, different people driven by different things, but I think that, like, it's worth knowing that after some time, a lot of people try to listen more to their heart than, like, to the kind of, like, continual career progression and salary progression. That being said, there is an enormous amount of money in the packaging industry, because pretty much every product has to be packaged to ensure that, like, it is delivered to the consumer without breaking, without spoiling, without kind of, like, all of the negative consequences. So yes, there is, like a huge amount of value that is created by packaging, and that transforms into money. I think that, like, what's important is to make sure that those things are balanced, and for us, we know that when we started this company, we had no clue about, like, business or how to write a business plan or how to kind of like pitch to a client or negotiate a price or anything. We've really kind of, like, done it because we wanted to make sure that what we had created as a concept would actually end up in the market having some real impact. So that's not been our driver. But I think that the value that is created needs to be shared equally, and that there is going to be a growing value for packaging because it's been so commoditized. It's been so kind of, like, year after year reducing the price by 3-4% on your suppliers and kind of, like, pushing it to the limit, that currently the prices make no sense when you think about the actual value that they create when a consumer believes that he's really buying the thing that is going to have the least impact on the environment. So the value is outgrowing massively the cost of the packaging at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's a very valid point, is that, again, back in the late 80s, early 90s, when branding was very much in the ascendancy, you saw people putting huge amounts of value on packaging. So, I mean, the classic example is Pringles, how they made a packet of crisps go from 27 pence to £1.27. just by putting a piece of packaging around it. And okay, yes, there was some cleverness in the Pringle itself, but it essentially was a snack. I think the other thing, and I totally agree with Pierre, I think there are the people that seem to be attracted to packaging are people with quite an altruistic view on life, lots of passion for the environment. And it's not a place, if you want to be a millionaire, don't come into packaging. I'll give you that.
Oh, Kev.
There are some guys who own businesses who will become millionaires because of your efforts. But generally speaking, packaging is always that thing that people think of generally last of all. Product first, packaging second. Where the money seemed to lie originally was in the agencies who did the concept branding work. Engineering, again, the engineering part of it is always the sort of poor cousin. However, again, I agree with Pierre that I think we are seeing now, because of COVID, people waking up to the fact that actually, oh, hang on a minute, packaging might be there for a very good reason. What's the science? Yeah. And then suddenly they're looking around and saying, where are all these people who are trained to tell us what the science is? And we're finding that because we've underinvested in this particular career and that the training for it is pretty lackluster, there are, I would say, quite a discreet group who are there ready to help. They're all looking for apprenticeships. You know, they're all looking for people to follow on and pass this knowledge on to. So I personally am invested in quite a few students from MA courses because I want them to carry this on. Mm. And I'm desperately trying to pass the stuff on before it's too late, you know. And it's, I think that's where it's going to change. I think that the sort of modern apprenticeship will be a combination of getting stuck in, working in the business, but also doing a degree as part of that process.
Yeah.
Having said that, as I said, I've been in this 38 years. It has been a sustainable income. And that perhaps is more important than a big income.
You're driving a Rolls Royce, aren't you, Kev?
Sorry?
You're driving a Rolls Royce, aren't you?
I'm not driving a Rolls Royce at all. No. I don't think. I couldn't talk about circular economy and sustainability on a platform and drive a Rolls Royce. Yeah.
So, Pierre, Kevin mentioned coronavirus and COVID-19 has changed many things over the last few months. Do you think this is going to have an impact on packaging or even on the perception of the importance of packaging?
Yeah, I think it's going to have an impact on both. I think that certainly we are emotional beings, so we're going to start with the perception first. I think that there's been like a massive kind of like immediate reaction to this new kind of like risk that we've all kind of like had to adapt to, which has been quite interesting. I think that there is a like we were already very good at over-packaging things, and I think that like this will kind of like make us go that way for a bit longer. Mm. I think what's really interesting, as Kevin was mentioning, like the science is very important, and actually it's quite interesting to see that the materials that are mostly used for packaging today, like plastic, are actually like not the most suitable choices for dealing with the virus. Plastic being one of those surfaces that is the most stable for the virus to survive on,
yeah.
Compared to natural fibers or more kind of like naturally porous materials. So it's quite interesting to see again, like whether there's still a few things to learn from nature rather than like pure kind of like industrial synthetic materials. I think that, like people have become a lot more kind of like concerned about contamination. And so this is highlighting the job of packaging. And so that's going to make, in a way, like the packaging industry able to showcase a whole lot of like more solutions to those problems. And I think what is really important for me, I think in the future, is that people remember that like we've kind of like created or largely contributed to something like COVID becoming reality by our lifestyle, our society, the way we kind of like we organize ourselves as like humanity. And there's a whole other like numbers of like bad things that could happen if we keep on pushing without respecting nature. And so hopefully when looking at the specific kind of like area of packaging, We're going to set a new standard for how we should use packaging and which materials and which infrastructures and how we can like put on a system to deal with all that packaging that we create, and hopefully like really reach that kind of like circular ideal we are striving to achieve of not creating anything that doesn't end up where we planned it would. And I'm really hopeful that people are on board with this. Certainly all the companies we are talking to, they are still very kind of like convinced that they have to act fast, and they've put this very high on their agenda. So I think that there is a lot of hope, but now it's all on execution, on making sure that we don't fall for like the lobby of plastic, who is trying to save a little bit its position in these troubled times. But I think we'll see some really exciting stuff coming up out of it.
So Kevin, let's go back to the people that need to come into the industry. What sort of skill set should you need? Obviously you can go and do your 3D design, but what else? What do you think we're lacking? Do we have the right skills in the UK workforce? What should people be studying? Well, give us a bit of an idea of the landscape of the skills required.
Okay, well, I think I'm going to lay the blame at Mr. Gove's feet here, because although having worked with him a couple of years ago and had a grudging respect for how much he kicked the backsides of us who needed the waste and resource and waste strategy changed, he did do a disservice to our trade by taking away the design and technology as a mandatory subject. Design and technology is a great entry for anybody who comes into this business, and there used to be a module in there about packaging as well. I think also what the schools need to be better informed about what is available in terms of the careers that come from the packaging industry. There's 400,000 people employed by the packaging industry, and directly and indirectly. That's a big employment base. I think it's also just making people connect with why, as a kid, why it's important to get involved with it and why it's very interesting to get involved with it. It's not just about a box. It's about, actually, as Pierre talks about, it's about the relationship with the brand. You know, it's about the relationship with the brand and then the retailer and then the customer. It's those things that just don't get taught to and fire kids up. Yes, you can go and do an engineering degree and you can learn all about hardcore engineering, but I think you'd end up wanting to work for Rolls Royce or for one of the big engineering firms rather than actually a packaging firm. So we've kind of fall between the stools, as we always seem to do when we've got this, when we have this conversation, is where does packaging sit in the universe of product development? And if we could put packaging equal to the product development itself, then all of a sudden the status would change. And that's something that in Northern Ireland, in particular at Lochry University, they're doing. They're saying the packaging is important as an ingredient. So do the two together. And I think that's quite an enlightened way of approaching this. It fires people up to see the interrelationship between the product and the packaging and the delivery to the customer.
So do you think that the industry and academia need to work together more, or are they already doing that, but there needs to be a more sort of policy-led change?
I'm always hesitant about policy, because policy always sounds like a big stick that beats us to do things. I think it's about marketing in the end. I think we're just very poor at marketing our own trade.
Well, here's your opportunity, Pierre. Sell the packaging industry right here and now. I'm a sixth former. I'm deciding which route my life should take. Tell me, draw me in.
So, I think definitely there's still going to be a lot of roles that are maybe already well represented in the packaging industry currently. But there's going to be a whole lot of new skill sets that the packaging industry doesn't really have right now. I mean, we primarily work with seaweed, so we need seaweed chemists and people who have like worked closely with those kind of natural materials, which aren't used at all in the packaging industry right now. So I think that the opportunity is really to expand the types of roles and the types of kind of like skill sets that are represented in the industry, and actually we are finding it quite hard to find people who have those those skill sets that are maybe at the intersection of two industries. So I think that's a big opportunity for people who are studying slightly different things than packaging to actually get really involved with exciting projects. And in terms of like pitching it and selling it, more than kind of like me pitching it right now, but I think that, for example, one of the things that like has been incredibly like humbling for us is that when we did our equity crowdfunding campaign, we put a video of like our packaging online, and that video got relayed into social media like in a completely viral way. So we actually had there was one video in particular on Facebook that got 100 million views. And if you can get 100 million views of like people from around the world who will care about watching a video about packaging, then you can make it like something that people want to like get involved with. So I think that people care about these subjects, that there is like a growing emotional connection with that industry, and that people really, really are kind of like taking notice. And as we've been talking about before, like people are looking for an opportunity to really make a difference, work on something that is actually going to stop some plastic from ending up in the ocean and breaking down into microplastics, then that's a fantastic challenge. Work in packaging and change the things that has been existing for our parents' generation and our grandparents' generation, because we can't keep on going with those technologies.
Rousing stuff. Kevin, how would you sell the packaging industry to newcomers?
I would say actually forget the packaging industry, get stuck into industrial design. There are more, in my experience, there are more creative industrial designers doing packaging than the other way around. So mm-hmm. industrial design is a really great discipline, because what it teaches you is how to see the aesthetic as well as the engineering at the same time. And you can do all sorts of things from that base. You can design chairs, you can design dashboards for cars, or you can design packaging. And increasingly, industrial design is worried about the circular economy. It's worrying about how we make those materials, in Ken Webster's words, the Ellen MacArthur Foundation, nutrients, how we don't see them as a wasted product once the first use is over. Mm. So all of those things come together in an industrial design discipline. So I think that would be where my shift of emphasis would be, is where are the industrial design courses and how full are they? Because I will sit at the door at the end of the third year and looking for students coming out of there and say, you're the sort of guy I want, you know. I think in terms of actually the overall kind of packaging story, oh, I'm going to be controversial now, is that it has been led by a lot of people who I hear this phrase, well, when I was doing it, it was like that. And it's kind of got stuck a bit in its way, mainly because of the capitalization of some of the equipment. It means a 25-year cycle, so you're therefore stuck with doing something for that long.
Yeah,
and then you get disruptors like Pierre coming along going, doesn't have to be that way. And that's where maybe the newbies are going to find the kind of real excitement is in the new product development. And I don't think Pierre's, your product is a packaging thing. I think it's one of those beautiful amalgams of packaging and product all in one thought. And you get that from kids who've been through, or people have been through a good grounding, where you've got a degree that teaches you about idea generation as well as about the engineering behind it.
And the practical application of it as well.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I mean, also, I think, you know, the potential for positive change in the industry is a huge draw to people as well. So I'm pretty optimistic. Pierre, optimistic?
Yeah, definitely. I think that, frankly speaking, like 90% of the packaging we'll be using in 10 years' time don't exist right now. So there's a whole lot of new things that are going to come up out of this industry, and it's super exciting.
Fantastic. And Kevin, are you optimistic? What are your thoughts about the short-term future?
I think very optimistic. Yeah, I'm seeing some incredible things happening where we're taking waste products and making new things out of it, which is exciting. It's the obvious kind of story that packaging needs to kind of play with. I also think that technologies are moving very fast now. I think we're developing new materials at a sort of exponential rate at the moment, and they will be applied to packaging inevitably. So yeah, some very exciting things happening.
So exciting sector. Well, you've been listening to the Tabletop Podcast brought to you by Food Matters. You heard from Pierre Pazlier and Kevin Vise and me, Stefan Gates. If you enjoyed this episode, you might like one of our other podcasts in which we explore pretty much every aspect of the food industry, from salmon farm sustainability to gut microbiome analysis. Subscribe to get every episode freshly delivered to you on Apple, Spotify, Google, or your preferred podcasting platform. And to find out more, take a look at foodmatters.co.uk. Goodbye. You've been listening to the Tabletop Podcast, brought to you by Food Matters. Subscribe to get every episode freshly delivered on Apple, Spotify, Google, or your preferred podcasting platform. And to find out more, please visit foodmatters.co.uk.